Good evening, friends. Let's pray. Living God, we believe that you are the King of Ransom. We believe that you have looked our way, not because we deserved your grace, but because you are the most kind God, the most gracious, the most merciful. We look to you, Lord. We look to the cross. We look to salvation that you have given us, Lord, by grace through faith. In the name of Jesus, Lord, as we go back in time and put ourselves in the place of people who were experiencing tragedy, it would seem to be defeat. Please meet us in this place and renew our minds, Lord, and help us to dive deep into the salvation that you've brought about in and through Christ. In the name of Christ, we pray that you'd open our eyes. Amen. So I'm going to read from his John's Gospel and his account of the crucifixion, not reading the entire thing, but just a part from chapter 19 of John. And John says this, and this is the very end of Jesus' life, and he's on the cross. And after everything that he's gone through and after all the degradation and the mocking and things like that, here's what he says. This is starting in verse 28, and we'll just go through verse 30. John writes this. John says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was put there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It's interesting that he says, I am thirsty. And he says it, this is not the first time he's been offered this drink, this kind of vinegar drink. And people speculate about what exactly was going on there. Some people say it's like kind of a numbing agent. And he was offered, if you read all four Gospels, they all have this little bit in there. It's a small bit. It's something you could easily gloss over. It's something you don't really pay attention to. And Jesus is on the cross, and he's offered it in Mark and in Matthew, and he's offered it up kind of early as he's on the cross, and he turns it down. He turns it down. And then in Luke's gospel, I believe it is, that they mock him with it. The soldiers mock him as if to say, we're not going to give it to you now. Right? And if it's a numbing agent, they'd be looking to maximize his pain, right? But now, John makes us know later, knowing that, see, he's very clear about this later. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. And then they give it to him, right? As if he was saying, yeah, now I'll take it. Now that everything's been done, now that Scripture's been fulfilled, now that God's plan has come about, now I will take it. It's finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Now he does it. And after he receives it, he says, it is finished. And then he dies. Right? He dies. The timing here is everything. And it's odd, because it's not the kind of thing you think of when it comes to timing, especially for someone who's dying. Right, there's all kinds of things that we want ready, that we want squared away if we know that we're going to die. There's all kinds of things that we want straight if we know that we're going to die. And here, though, Jesus, this little detail, he will not take this drink, right, until everything's been fulfilled. And then he declares, it is finished. Timing is everything. It's interesting. We believe as Christians that this is how God forgives, that God has given the Son of God to die on a cross for the sins of the entire world. People get confused about this, and there's many who have all kinds of critiques about this kind of thing, and they say, "Oh, this is divine child abuse. This is brutal, kind of old school, pre-modern, unenlightened human sacrifice," or something like that. And they have a problem with this. And what's one of the misunderstandings here is that people treat God like a cop as opposed to a judge. You think about a cop, you know, a cop, another word for a cop or a police officer is an LEO, a law enforcement officer, right? It's someone who enforces the law, pretty simple, right? And so we think, you know, well, God didn't have to do this. God didn't have to do this kind of thing. Right? I mean, can he just let people off? Can he just let bygones be bygones? And why do we have to, you know, to send the Son of God to die for the sins of the world? What's up with God? Right? Is he a sadist? Right? And the problem is God is not a cop. God's a judge. And a judge has to uphold law and order. And a judge has to uphold justice. And so God can't let bygones be bygones. Someone's got to judge. Someone's got to pay for all the evil in the world, and there is much of it, and the spitting in the face of the living God. Someone must pay, right? And it's funny, because when you think about, when you and I think about, when we've been angry at someone who has done something wrong to us, whether it's actually happened or whether we just think someone's done something wrong to us, the more time you have to stew about it, the more angry you get. We get wildly angry. Right, we get. In fact, we get angry. I've found I've gotten angry, like utterly irrational. Like it's not just that the person did something to me. I have to embellish it. I'm like, oh no! It was far worse than that. It had all this symbolic value. It was terrible. It was awful. And really, I make myself out to basically be God, to be so incredibly offended by something that's really minuscule that I've made to be this incredible thing in my own mind. And the more time you have to stew on something, the more angry you get. But isn't it interesting? God's different. All this time has passed. There's many scriptures that have to be fulfilled. There were generations upon generations of events and people that had to pass in the earth before God fulfilled his plan to forgive. God stewed on it for a long time, but it didn't result in him getting more and more angry. It resulted in him getting more and more gracious. And so finally, when it explodes onto the world scene in that first Good Friday and everything is fulfilled, what it looks like is the Son of God, very God from very God, true light from true light, hanging on a cross for our sakes. That's how God is. From Jesus' point of view, as it's happening, when you're a kid, you know, if you've ever been punished, and everybody experienced like kind of different kinds of punishment cultures, you know, I as a kid and early on, and I did my fair share of dirt. You know, I came from a corporeal punishment culture. It's a fancy pants way of saying I got whippings, right? And if you'd have known Myron Crockett from way back when, Myron deserved whippings, right? I didn't get gobs of them. I didn't get them for every single thing I did. In fact, I didn't get whippings for most things I did, and especially the things I got away with, right? Which I'm not necessarily proud of. But I got whippings, right? And you think, you know, oh my gosh, I just, you know, when you're caught, you're red-handed, you have nowhere to go, and the punishment is upon you, whether it's corporeal punishment or whether it's grounding or whatever the thing is. If it's really terrible, you just want it to be over. This one to be over, right? That's it. And when it's over, you're like, whew, done with that. Or when you know it's almost over, you're like, okay, you know, I can endure this for like five more minutes, right? But here's Jesus. Jesus is dying not because he's done anything wrong, because we have. And because of timing, he turns down, making it easier on himself. He turns down, making it simpler, easier. And only when everything had been fulfilled, now he takes this drink, this concoction, whatever it was, and then it's finished. So you have these two poles. You have a God who plans, who has every right to be wrathful, angry, upset with human beings, and he is. But the longer it takes for him to plan, the more gracious he gets. And then you have Jesus Christ, who's enduring the wrath of God for our sake. He's enduring the punishment that should have been ours. And instead of saying anything to just get it over with really, really quick, he won't even take this concoction to make things easier on himself until it's all fulfilled. Friends, this is the graciousness of God. This is the graciousness of God towards us. This is the forgiveness of God. This is, yes, the God of justice, and yes, there will be a day when God will judge, and there will be incredible universal wrath, and followed by a new creation, and followed by eternal peace. But for right now, here in the middle of history, available for all of humankind, even to this day, God's strange justice says that when everything is fulfilled, and God has had centuries to contemplate the evil of humankind, God speaks grace. Here in the middle of history, in this small stretch of land, Judea, that seemed pretty insignificant in the scheme of things, when Jesus had every opportunity to make it easy on himself, call down a battalion of angels, end his suffering early or something like that, he won't do anything until it is all fulfilled, every bit of it, and then he dies. This is the grace of God, and it is still available. It is still available. It has not stopped being available, though a great number of centuries has passed. God is still this gracious. The cross of Christ is still this effective for the forgiveness of the living God. For Christians, we need to know this is still true because we are still people who offend God. I often tell people, like, look, when you become a Christian, it's not like you stop repenting. You just start, right? However, with that, when you become a Christian, you don't become sinless, but you should sin less. You don't become sinless, but you should sin less. And over time, you should sin less and less and less and less, because this cross is effective not just to put whitewash over sin, but to actually be God's sovereign power over sin. It's still effective. And it has all been fulfilled. It is finished. And that is good news, because it is done. And the cross is readily available for us to this very day. For people who do not yet know Jesus, and that was all of us at some point in time, who have yet to take advantage of what God has done, there's an urgency built up, because while the grace of God has been, the wrath of God has been satisfied in Christ Jesus, there's another day coming when God is going to judge. And this will be the last judgment. This will be the final day, and there won't be an atonement this day. There will not be Jesus hanging on the cross. It will be Jesus the judge who's coming. Friends, if you're a Christian and you have sin to deal with, and you think that you're too far gone, or if you have reconciliation to work out, and you think, no, it's impossible, it is not. It is not true. That is a lie. It is a total lie. This cross that was effective for your conversion is still effective for your discipleship. Your cause is not lost to this day. It has all been fulfilled. For those who do not know the Lord, who may think that they are irrevocably lost and separated from the living God, and there's no way in the world that God could reconcile them, want them back, or who think that, you know, God just lets bygones be bygones, I'm cool. Friends, know that this is the way that God saves. This is the way God forgives. And there is no other path. And there's an urgency. However you need to respond to the Lord, we'll leave time for that, for you to allow the Lord to minister to your heart, to allow the very gospel of Jesus Christ to minister to your heart. But take advantage. The Lord's grace is deep and wide and quite real. It only started with conversion. It doesn't end until we die. And that is extraordinarily good news, because we all need this grace every day continually. This cross every day continually. And it is available for you. It is available for us. It is available for the world. Amen? Praise the Lord.